Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and please, please welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Where the three of us sit round the table, metaphorically speaking, and chew the fat. Literally.
We've just got massive tongues, that's all it is. So before we crack on with the episode, which is a tremendously fun one, we've got to do a small bit of admin. And it's admin I think you're going to enjoy, folks, because we've got two wonderful Flatshare Slamdowns happening in March, 18th and 19th. Of March at the Phoenix in Cavendish Square, our usual haunt. And I'll tell you now, I know we did them in January, we did them in February, we did them in March. That's going to be us pretty much up until the Latitude Festival in the summer. So if you want to come and see a Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown, this is your chance to do it. There'll be more around sort of Christmas time, so we'll do the Christmas episode, but we're racking up a bunch of episodes for you to enjoy. So that is it, folks. I strongly suggest you come on down to the Phoenix.
Yes,
we've got
you must.
We've got phenomenal, phenomenal guests, I mean, for both shows.
Unbelievable
guests. We've got Joe Lycett and Lulu Popplewell on the 18th of March. That's the Monday. And on the Tuesday, we've got Joe Wilkinson, rescheduled from January, and the brilliant Humphrey Carr, who, you know, we've known for a long time, and I think may have even appeared on the first ever Christmas episode. And that's the last time he appeared on the podcast. So it's been over a decade. That's the great thing about, you know, having done it this long, we get these returning guests. Like, we had Alex Brooker on a couple of nights ago. That episode's coming out soon. And he said, oh, I haven't done this for 9 years. Mad. Absolutely mad. It was 9 years ago when he was on it. I really thought it was about 3 or 4, but that's time for you, folks. So go to pappiescomedy.com/live and get tickets for the 18th of March, the 19th of March. If you want to come to both shows, there is a discounted ticket that gets you into both shows that's also available from pappiescomedy.com/live. So, and if you're a Patreon member as well, patreon.com/pappiesflatshare, you can get discounted tickets, and you even get a discount on the discounted double ticket. So it's well worth
that's
your membership.
Can we close that loophole? That feels mad to me.
That does feel mad. We're giving them away. But we'd love to see you there, folks. We've just finished two, and they were really, really fun. And, you know, having a fun audience full of pals, that's what makes it so fun. So please do come on down. 18th of March, 19th of March at the Phoenix. pappiescomedy.com/live.
Lovely stuff. Otherwise, just enjoy this episode.
You're right, Tom. Was it too much admin for you?
Really
was that
hit a wall?
Yeah, I could tell. Halfway through me giving out the pappiescomedy.com/live get again, I could feel you really hitting it. Anyway,
the lights went out. Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy the episode, folks.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So two nights ago, I made a decision that I don't normally make.
Yes.
I was travelling home from, we were recording Flatshare Slamdown, and I decided to not rush to get a train home, right? I was on the journey, I was looking at the journey as I was on it and thinking, if I really pelted it, I could make this train. But I was thinking, no, when I get home, no one's going to be awake, I'm not racing home to see my family, you know, it makes sort of no odds really, it's the difference of about 15 minutes. And I thought, I was like, this is going to be so relaxing. it's going to really like make me feel like I'm enjoying my life. You know, I'm not, you know, it's cold weather. I'm wearing a big coat. I'm not running for it. I'm just going to kind of enjoy the journey. But by the time I got to like the edge of the platform, I probably still could have made it. And I didn't make, I sort of like deliberately just didn't walk down the, like I walked towards the train and I thought, no, because what if I see the train? I don't want to see, even see the train. So I walked back up the concourse off the platform.
You walked
again.
Back up the concourse?
Yeah, I walked back away from it and then just stood there kind of going, well, actually now I just feel like I'm an idiot. I was trying as much as I could to sort of go like, every time we get out of the, you know, we get out of those gigs, we have a couple of drinks, we have a chat with our guests, we stroll out. I always am just about to miss a train, so I always have to peg it, and it makes for quite a sort of stressy end to the night.
Yeah.
But it turns out that the alternative is worse.
It's worse. The alternative, hiding round the corner from the train.
From the
exactly.
Route home.
Not wanting to see the train, just so it doesn't annoy me. But just sort of standing round the corner, just in Waterloo Station, just standing by the boots instead. Nothing's, also I was thinking, well, maybe I'll buy myself some food, or I'll buy myself a coffee or something. I didn't want any of that. I was like, I don't need any of that.
The old quarter to midnight coffee.
Oh, it'll be a decaf. Whoa. It'll be a decaf at that time of night.
Your version of sliding doors is like, I don't know, strange concourse. And it's like, before the sliding doors moment, you would walk past yourself on the concourse and the one guy would be like, where's he going?
Yeah, where's he going? It's like,
what's he know?
Yeah.
Doesn't he know there's a train?
And then the other guy I wouldn't even notice the guy walking the other way because I would be running full pelt, clutching my rucksack, you know, in it, sweating through my coat.
Yeah. She doesn't see herself in sliding doors, right?
No, it's two different, no, it's two different scenarios, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
I think, actually, that would have been a bigger sliding doors moment, don't you think? I think seeing myself...
On the other side of a door.
On the other side of a door.
Not being able to shake hands. So close.
Of a train that's leaving. I would think it's a bigger thing than finding out that, my partner's been cheating on me. I think that would actually be more psychologically damaging.
Is Sliding Doors like the biggest film that people...
Yes, of all time. Yes, it is.
Is it? Yeah.
It's Sliding Doors, then Avatar.
Is it the biggest film you can think of that people reference as like a phenomenon but haven't actually seen it?
Oh, that's a good call.
Like, yeah. It's kind of place in...
Oh, we're at bucket list. No one's seen the bucket list.
No, I was going to say Human Centipede.
Oh, that's a good one as well.
Well, the Human Centipede is on your bucket list, isn't it?
I think we might have hit the top three. Yeah. It was a real sliding doors moment when I opted to join the Human Centipede.
Sophie's Choice?
Yeah.
Oh, come
four.
On. Come on, Clarky, let's not mention that.
it wasn't a Sophie's Choice whether to join the Human Centipede or not.
No, it's very easy.
I was all in.
I was just gutted that I was caught in the sliding doors type line that didn't.
And also, dude, where's my car? No. I think we've hit the big four there. They were that fell out. Bucket list, I don't know. Like, but I know obviously this is true of Sliding Doors. It was a real Sliding Doors moment, was before Sliding Doors the film, right?
Was it?
Or was it? I don't know if it was.
But Bucket List was definitely a bucket
list. Bucket List, definitely.
Bucket
a thing,
List
yeah.
was, you can't, you know. Bucket List was very late to the Bucket List party.
Had I heard of Bucket List before the movie Bucket List came
Surely
out?
Surely you had.
I don't know.
How old is Bucket List? I feel like
Bucket List, we're talking 15 years old, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely knew about Bucket List before.
2007, you knew about Bucket List before 2007.
Oh, you'd written one. We'd done half of it.
One of the things on my bucket list was to not see Bucket List.
But it was a real sliding doors moment. Was that knocking around before sliding doors? I bet it wasn't, was it?
I don't think so, because I don't think it makes... Like, the bucket list makes sense. There's a logic to it. But the sliding doors only makes sense in the sense of being on the tube and missing the doors. I don't think sliding doors moment... I don't think that was the idea that could change your life forever. I don't think that was in the sort of popular lexicon.
And was the main difference that one went to the hairdressers and one didn't? Because there's kind of like two very different looks.
Well, I think that was just to make it easy on us, the idiots who were watching it, to know which...
Or not watching it.
Yeah, or not watching it, yeah.
Have either of you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's great. Well, is it great? I tell you what.
Is it great?
I don't think it's great. You know what? I've changed my mind. I've watched it. It's not great.
That was a real sliding doors moment there.
Because she gets together with John Hannah, doesn't she? And I remember thinking this at the time. The way that they show John Hannah is a lot of fun to hang out with is that in a restaurant, maybe it's a dinner party, but it's definitely a table with a lot of people around it, he is quoting the Spanish Inquisition sketch, the Monty Python thing. And everyone's roaring with laughter and he's doing a one-man Spanish Inquisition. And you go, is that fun? Or is that me at the age of 13?
No, that's what the worst people do. That's what the worst adults do.
Yeah.
Although, back in 2007, there wasn't YouTube, was there? So if you wanted to tell someone about the Spanish Inquisition sketch, you would have to act it. That's how it was back then. We were our own YouTubes.
Now when I go to a party, it's wall-to-wall Borat impressions. Sorry, I'm doing wall-to-wall Borat impressions.
By the way, nothing worse than if somebody says, have you seen this funny thing or this funny episode of Only Sunny in Philadelphia?
And then shows it. Yeah.
No, worse if they tell you about it.
Yeah. Find
it on whatever, WhatsApp it to me and I'll either watch it or not watch it. That's fine. Put the ball in my court. But the amount of time that people would say, oh, you've got to see it. This thing happens and you go, I know you understand the context of it and you understand how good it is, but I can't get on board.
Even someone saying, watch this, you'll like it, and sending it me immediately knocks a couple of enjoyment points off it.
That's a very you thing, I think.
A recommendation send.
Yeah.
Immediately muddies the water.
Yeah.
There's just too much going on.
Yeah.
And I know that because I've recommended you things and I think, oh, Parry would love this. And I've sent them to you. And I've said, oh, do you watch it? And you're like, no. And then I've stopped asking. And I think, he's never watched it. Even though there's a couple of things. I'm not even going to reference what they are. But there's
sliding
a couple
doors.
Of things that I know he's done.
Sliding doors.
The bucket list. So if he's joined the Human Centipede, top four films of all time. Your WhatsApp is absolutely clogged with that stuff. But I know that that for you is, you know, because you're your own man in the landscape of cultural discovery, you don't like someone to put to thrust something into your hand and say, this is what you should watch. You like to find it yourself.
I think that's what it does is when I'm watching it, instead of enjoying it, I'm thinking, which bit made them think I'd like this, or what is it about me that makes them think that this is something that I
sure.
And then by that point it's finished.
But that's what I do like about it is that I
and
like
I've given it 3 stars.
You know,
yeah.
Check the Guardian to see if you agree or disagree with the review. Either way, be furious.
Three stars. Pick a side.
I like that when somebody gets you like a present. You know, it doesn't happen quite so much as it used to, just because people don't give presents as much. People don't give sort of physical things as much. But like when someone would give me a book or something, and I'd read it and go, oh yeah, I'm thinking of the person as well as reading the book.
Yeah, I feel different about that actually. Like if you bought me back in the day, if you'd have bought me a DVD for my birthday.
Oh yeah.
Then I'd have been like, oh man, brilliant. Crosby's bought me Chinatown. I can't wait to watch that now. Like, I genuinely feel different about that rather than, Parry, you should watch that. You'll like it.
Yeah. Well, there was that period when you walked around with a bandage over your nose for ages, and I thought, he's going to watch Chinatown.
He's going to
really float his boat.
Basically, if you paid for my Apple subscription, then I'd watch. You know, I'd be like, that's different. I'd watch it.
You'd watch Severance.
I'd finally watch Severance. I do really want to watch Severance, by the way. I just haven't got an Apple subscription.
Parry, you should watch it.
It does seem a bit much, actually.
That's knocked 18 months off it, at the very least.
Sure, it's for me. House meeting.
For what belief would you take a beating? House meeting.
That's the biggest rip-off that they've done to us over the last, like, 20 years or so, is that the gift of a DVD.
Yeah.
They've taken, that's been ripped from us. And that was the best gift ever.
Can I tell you what else they've done? They have left an entire generation unable to buy gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You sort of go, oh, what am I supposed to get for gifts? Because for years, we were coasting on the book, the CD, the DVD, or the voucher that would buy you the book, the CD, the DVD. Basically, if you couldn't get it from HMV, then it wasn't worth getting.
Yeah.
That was how presents used to be.
And it was fun.
I loved it.
It was great.
It was fun going into town to buy the present, thinking, what shall I get them?
It was great fun.
I'll get them this. I haven't even seen this. We can watch it together.
Exactly.
I've heard this is good or whatever. Like,
or HMV would do a special little box. It's like a special little box. I mean, like this is mad to think about now. It's two VHSs. One VHS is the film The Usual Suspects. The other VHS is blooming Christopher McQuarrie talking about it over the film in a separate VHS. The HMV have put that in a special little box. It costs £8. That is a perfect present for your pals.
Or here's The Usual Suspects, and here's two of Kevin Spacey's earlier films that didn't
here's
do
swimming
so
with
well.
Sharks.
You're going to buy it.
Always Swimming with Sharks.
It's the Kevin Spacey box set. I've got you the Kevin Spacey box set. The
Which
big
is
three.
Bad now. Nowadays, if someone to say, what's it about Kevin Spacey that's reminded you of me? That's bad. But back, you know, obviously this is back in the day. But yeah, there was... You know, or you could, you know, if you were really classy or you wanted to show you were really classy, you go into Waterstones, you get a book. Now, admittedly, that's still there.
That's an option.
But the book you're buying is the screenplay of Clerks. That's what you're buying. You're buying the screenplay, one of those books with the black cover, with the little sort of clapperboard on it. You're buying
or the
screenplay
box
of Clerks.
Here's the screenplay of Chasing Amy. Okay.
It's also in there as well.
Fine, thanks, don't mind.
And also Swimming with Sharks. I don't know why.
Really not the screenplay of Swimming with Sharks in stuff. There. You've got to throw that out there as well. So I've got you a book, or occasionally it'll be like a musical biography. And I think I still do that a little bit with friends, as we'll get each other musical biographies.
It's so hard to buy fiction that you haven't read. Because you're really taking a punt there. Even if you've heard it's good.
Do you know what I genuinely thought for a second? Bloody hell, how well read is Tom? That he can't find a fiction book that he hasn't already. Yeah. I was like, bloody hell, this is impressive.
He's walking into Waterstones, they're telling, I'm sorry, Mr. Parry, we can't get the writing books fast enough.
He's back, you've cleaned us out.
He reads them like Johnny Five. He just skims through them. What was that film where John Travolta could read books fast and then listen to learn
like
languages?
Michael or something.
No, he did two at the same time.
Phenomena.
That was it. Phenomenon.
They were all in the box set. Phenomenon.
That's,
Michael.
That's a box set.
And Face Off. Buy the box set. Get all three.
And then another three VHSs of him talking about those movies. And he also can't tell the difference between Michael.
Travolta, the post-Pulp Fiction Travolta glut.
The Renaissance, yeah. The post-Pulp Fiction, pre-Battleship Earth. That hallowed period.
What a window
when
for the boy.
When he could do no wrong. Yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's a lot. I find gift giving to be excruciatingly embarrassing.
It just never used to be. We've been done over there.
Yeah.
For God's sake, you're going to love this album. Well, at least I've got you this album.
I've got you this album. Like yeah. The only thing you can do now is you can give somebody a vinyl.
Tim Parry every Christmas. But they're all still in the wrappers.
Of course they
get
are.
Get to his house, they're still in the wrappers. Of course they
You're listening to it on your laptop, aren't you? Or on your headphones. Yeah. Every now and then, Charlie and I put on a vinyl record of an evening, and my God, do we feel good about it. Oh my God. I'm quite pleased I'm saying it on the podcast, actually, because you're sitting there going, I wish everybody knew about this. I'm reading a book, I'm drinking a glass of wine, and I'm listening to a vinyl record.
And I'm sat with my wife. This is how it was supposed to end up. I've got there.
I've managed to somehow fool the world into giving me these gifts. Here I am.
Swimming with Sharks on the VHS.
Kevin Spacey reads Swimming with Sharks. I do that on a Sunday morning. I try and put vinyl on, so it's like, ooh, we're a family who listen to vinyl on a Sunday morning. That's and nice. It lasts about 2 minutes, and then Gloria kicks
Sunday
off.
Morning. What? I've not. You not got Radio X on?
Oh, sorry. After Radio X, I get it on vinyl. I get it on vinyl.
The best of Radio X on vinyl. It is just a blank piece of acetate. That's all it is.
It's got a lovely crackle, though.
No, it's like one of those. What are the ones you used to get on cereal boxes that you used to cut out?
Oh, yes, please. The little sort of floppy, flippy-floppy vinyls
really
you'd get.
Fucking mad that
on,
was.
On the front of Frosties.
Yeah, oh, you get a my. Fucking record on the front of Frosties that you cut out with some scissors and then give it a go.
Pop it on the turntable. Only one side worked, as you found out.
Famous guy.
Yeah.
Flip it over and think, oh, what? Who is this, Throbbing Gristle? It's a bit industrial for my liking. Now my stereo doesn't work anymore.
That's how dance music was created.
That's how dance music is created. It's the oldest man thing you've ever said in your life.
I was just about to say, that's how we're dance sounding music so was old, and then I came in with an absolute topper.
That's how dance music was created. Yeah, it was created in 1996 when Clarky flipped over a record he'd got on the front of Frosties.
Could you name one of the songs, though? I can't even begin to think what the song would have been.
On the vinyl?
Yeah.
Mm. Were they in some way... They were pop songs, right? They weren't like... You know, it wasn't like Tony the Tiger himself recording a funny song, was it? I remember them being like... You could get a bunch of different sort of chart singles. That's what I remember.
Yeah, I think so. It was like get Chesney Hawke's next single.
The two and only. Get that.
I am great. Anyone? Anyway, and now gift giving is shit tat because everyone needs to think they need to buy something, and it's so then you're stretching for shit tat.
I also think that, certainly in my world, gift giving's just kind of stopped for most people because it feels like we just won't do that anymore.
My gift to you is you not getting gift to me when my birthday rolls around.
Yeah, that's it.
That's, you know.
You're free.
Yeah. The idea of exchanging something, like we don't do it at Christmas with the siblings anymore, but the idea of like exchanging something of a particular value, you think let's just hang on to the 40 quid or whatever it was that we set as the target. Yeah, you're right. I mean if we could eliminate it, I'd be very happy. But then there's loads of people who wouldn't be. So you can't just, you know.
Yeah, the rest of your family.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's very true. That's very true. I've come from a family of gift givers, and I just happen to be the one miserly Scrooge who's like, and it's not about the money. It's not even really about the effort. It's just about the not wanting it to be reciprocated.
Yeah. I don't want this.
What I guess has replaced the book and the CD and all that is the nice bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine. Yeah,
there you go.
There's no harm in that.
Nice bottle of wine to drink while you're looking at your vinyl record and listening to something on Spotify.
Yeah. Well, you've put a vinyl on first thing on a Sunday morning. Just crack open that bottle of wine.
Absolutely right. Early Sunday morning, nice glass of wine. Once Radio X is over, listen to some vinyl in your little den. Yeah, it's not a bad life.
Perfect. It's not bad at all.
House meeting.
Are socks only useful for putting your feet in?
House meeting.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Have you got a burgeoning wine collection? Is that something you see yourself entertaining, or are you very much kind of supply and demand wine consumer?
No, I have a selection. I've probably in the house at the moment got 20 bottles.
Oh, that's on its way.
But I mean, collection is, you know, collection is a strong term.
They're all Wolf Blass.
Yeah. Well, you know, like they're not, I buy them to drink them, you know. So, and then when I've ploughed through that, we've got like a little sort of thing in the kitchen that you can stick wine bottles in.
Fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Pint glass.
I've got a few pint glasses. Yeah, I've got a few pint glasses, and just, you know, pop on the vinyl record and off I go. But yeah, why are you? What are you? Are you a wine collector?
No, I've locked the wine away so that it can't be found by little hands.
You've still got that German guy's name with you.
The little German alcoholic.
I've locked them away, and now I don't. So I guess I have got, but it's probably about six old bottles that are just collecting dust. I'd love it if they suddenly turn into be, you know, like, oh wow, you didn't touch that for 5 years. You're rich. I'd love that.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think that's going to prove to be the case.
No. Did you buy them from Sainsbury's?
I mean, they were bought for me, so I'm guessing they're from Sainsbury's. Yes.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, no, I'm not like that. I know people who like know about wine, and I always find it really, like, it's a really exciting skill to have, to sort of be able to taste a wine and know literally anything about it more than the colour.
Yeah.
It would be amazing to me.
Hey, do you think, you know those people who, they put out like a beer, or like, you know, you're drinking the, you know, like, the beer of, you know, I don't know, Saturday Kitchen or some shit. I don't know, but like, do we think?
wait. I'm not sure what, I do know what you're talking about. What
is there? Like, have we got any listeners who could we brew a flat slam wine? Basically.
Oh, I see. Right, I see. Yeah, yeah.
I think brewing a wine, we're losing from the start.
Have any listeners got a bathtub? We know Michael Oduwale's got one in his mum's back garden.
Yeah, perfect.
Does anyone work?
Like, what we're looking for is a professional listener, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Does anybody work for a vineyard? Or even, you know, I think we could even do, you know, like, I could definitely see us, like, some cans of lager or something with the flat slam branding on it. Yeah.
A flat slamdy? Shandy?
A flat slamdy. Does sound like you're pissed.
Flat slamdy. You left it out.
It does sound like you're pissed ordering it.
Do you want this week old slamdy?
Another slamdy? Slamdy's not great.
We should do wine, but it's a pint glass that, you know, it's just like those glasses where you just kind of pull the top off and then you just drink straight out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we do one, but it's a pint glass
that you get at a train station.
Pappy's pints, pappy pint of wine.
Pappy pint of wine, I think.
Gets you where you need to go while you miss that train that you decided to walk away from.
I have a feeling that, is that not like sort of illegal to say? There's got to be something about selling a pint of wine with a foil lid on it that says, gets you where you need to go. I'm sure of it. There's sort of quite strict rules around what you can say and can't say around the marketing and advertising of booze.
There must be, because otherwise it would be full of shit like that, wouldn't it?
Maybe we're just trailblazers, man. Maybe no one else has thought of it.
Not to once again sound like the oldest men in the world, but that was the glory period of the Alcopop. That's why these rules came into place. you know, please drink responsibly. That's very much from a post-Alcopop world when they were literally going, look at this, kids. It's got a funny lemon on the front. Drink it. It was like, it was marketed for the most susceptible young minds in the country. That's what it was for.
Yeah, me.
It was a better time, wasn't it? Drink a few Alcopops, go to HMV, blow 20 quid on a couple of box sets. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be barely alive.
The whole point of this drink is that you're not going to drink it responsibly. It was like the Alcopops bent, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mind you, I guess the kids today, they get vapes for that.
They get the same kind
of juice off vapes. When they're podcasting, they'll be going, those are the good old days, wasn't they? You could vape on a mango fruit or something. I don't know much about vapes.
No. That's exactly it. And also, you know, the vaping indoors as well. People were vaping indoors. That's going to be another thing.
Yeah.
That will sound absolutely insane. In the same way that, like, you know, you could smoke on the bus. You used to be able to smoke on the bus. Go up to the top deck, smoke on the bus. The idea that people were vaping in an office. It's just crackers, isn't it?
Yeah.
They also used to get vapes on the front of cereal packets, didn't you? And that was mad.
That's right. You could only smoke one side, though, couldn't you? Otherwise, dance music!
Dance music, baby!
Are you not tempted, Parry? Because I know you've smoked in the past.
Yeah,
Not tempted to get yourself a vape? What about one of those vapes that's shaped like a cigar? Have you not? Oh, they're great. And the little end glows red. So it looks like a toy cigar. The little end glows red as you're buffing away on it. They're about the size of a, you know, like a stogie. That to me looks like a lot of fun. That is almost advertised for kids, isn't it? Because like when you were a kid, anything that looked like, you know, you'd be eating chipsticks, and someone who was eating a chipstick would be pretending to puff on it like a cigarette. Yeah. You know, you get your bus ticket, you'd roll it up, you'd pretend to puff on it like a cigarette. Everything's kind of fun, like to do that with. It feels like the cigar, candy cigarettes as well. Like that was
And they were the grossest sweets ever to have been invented. But they look like cigarettes, so everyone still bought them.
Everyone loved them, yeah. And you got a card that was a picture of
Spider-Man.
Hulk.
Hang on, did you think they were gross?
Oh, awful. They tasted like sand.
They were chalky, I'll say that much. They were sweet and chalky, but I didn't mind them.
I was big into them.
Were you?
But never for the pretending to smoke side. That bit used to put me off.
That shocked me.
Because it felt too naughty.
Really? It was too subversive for you?
Yeah.
That's...
Whereas what I did enjoy was the taste, sucking on a cool candy stick, putting them in your mouth and feeling them go soft. That's what I really used to like. And you get a card with them, which was pretty good.
The picture of Spider-Man, you know, that was very, very exciting. But of course, who doesn't like popping something in?
Wait for it to go soft.
I used to love them. But yeah, I mean, I obviously they knew what they were doing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Big time. But yeah, no, I think I could see you, Parry, and I think it's not a bad affectation to take up, would be the vaping cigar vape. Yeah. Just for special occasions.
I'd quite like to just go into cigars, to be honest.
Oh, cut out the middleman.
That's going to be me now.
Cigars for a, you know, like for a wedding. I don't mind.
Yeah, or a festival. Yeah,
I mean,
just be like a cigar guy.
I think every stage
just
of
one cigar.
Every stage of growing up is basically doing something you think is disgusting until you like it.
Yeah.
You know,
pure orange juice.
And normally the training ground for that is festivals. It's like for this weekend I'm going to do something that I don't do in my normal life.
Yeah.
And it's horrible, but I'll come out of this weekend liking it.
Yeah. Regretting it but liking it.
You know what? I didn't used to like the script, but now I do. I think they're brilliant. Because I forced myself to enjoy them. Yeah, no, but I think that's it, isn't it? Like when you're a little kid, like the idea of like beer and wine is very enticing. And then occasionally, you know, you might be sort of 8 or 9 and your parents go, oh yeah, go on, you can have one sip of it, because they know you're not going to like it. And you take a sip and you're like, oh God, this is poison. Yeah, why are you doing this to yourself?
But you try to pretend to like it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that's kind of, that's cigars now. That's the next stage. Mm. Isn't it that you kind of smoke a cigar at a wedding and you go, actually, I mean, it is obviously you are getting a buzz off it because it's a cigar, and also I'm a non-smoker, so it really blows my head off, but quite a lot of it is going, this is grim and it stinks.
I've got to get through this in the morning. It's going to feel terrible.
It's going to be worse than the 5 glasses of champagne I've drunk. That's the thing. I'm going to, you know, when your tongue is black and you've got a sort of a hacking cough.
Yeah, it feels like you've eaten a shoe.
Exactly. Yeah. When you think, oh, I've got, you know, I've not smoked for the entire year, but I've done a year's worth of smoking in one night for some stupid reason.
Yeah.
That's when you feel bad.
And it meant no one wanted to talk to me for 2 hours.
That has its upsides.
You're stood outside with a couple of other saddos, puffing on cigars, thinking, yeah, this is it. You know, we've loosened our ties. We might even have a spirit in a small glass in our hand, swilling it around. We're setting the world to rights. We're planning on starting a podcast together. All that kind of thing. You know, talking about our small business ideas. And you go, actually, we're not in the party. We're not enjoying ourselves. The band's playing. We're not dancing. We're not with the happy couple. We're not with our partners. And when we arrive back, people are going to make a big, you know, they have to give us a huge wide berth because we're going to absolutely reek.
And I'm now unable to swallow. Anyway, goodbye.
I'm just having to swill this whiskey around my mouth.
Anyway, I think that might be me.
My tongue's gone numb.
That might be me now, I think.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good call, man. It's a good call.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're going that, I'm going for the pipe. I'm going the pipe. It's going to be the pipe.
Oh, I could see you with the pipe, actually, Crosby.
Yeah. Get the old briar out.
Where does that leave me?
They've just finished Gladiator 2, haven't they, filming it? And Paul Mescal's The Gladiator. And Ridley Scott, directs from a trailer now, so he's not really around. But like, there was like a picture Paul Mescal put on social media of like, we've wrapped, and it's like them in Ridley Scott's hotel room on the last night, and it's him and Ridley with these huge cigars, and you can just tell that like Ridley Scott would have been like, young man, on the last night of filming, me and you, we're going to smoke a cigar, and Paul Mescal would have been like, oh no, in his head, just like, I've got to go to Ridley's room now and smoke a fucking big fat cigar with a man who lost the sense of taste 40 years ago. It's like,
yeah, in every sense. The worst thing about that is that Ridley made them smoke it in Paul's room, so he still gets his deposit back. Because they took, you know, they take your credit card at the door in that hotel. So, you know, they'll just, honestly, they'll never be able to get the stink out the towels. So poor old Mescal's picking up the bill.
It's exactly that, where you like, oh no, and he's like, this is a fine, sit down, let me tell you, this is a fine cigar. You'll enjoy this, smell it first. And like teaching him how to cut the ends and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's been like rolled on the thigh of a Cuban lady, and you go, well, that doesn't appeal.
Yeah.
I like clean factory conditions for things I'm going to put in my gob, if that's okay. I'm already a bit freaked out by the fact I have to use the same fork as 100 other people when I go to a restaurant, but I try and put that out of my mind. Yeah. You know, the idea that someone's gone, oh, don't.
That is the selling point. It's always the selling point.
If even amongst your friends, if I brought you around and I said, oh, you know what? I have made an absolutely beautiful beef Wellington and I rolled it on my own thighs. You'd be like, actually, do you know what? None of that. Thank you very much.
Don't worry. I'm a virgin.
Hence the oil.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway,
that's me.
Should we light us a cigar to commemorate the end of this?
It's lovely. This lovely
the end
chat.
Of this episode.
Have you not been smoking a cigar throughout this?
It's been It's been a great. That's well. That's the reason we have to do it now over Zoom. We're actually all in the. We're all in London currently, but we've all decided to not meet up together because we're all doing. Like obviously, you're on the big cigar. I'm on the vapes and Clark is on the candy cigarettes, and you know those flavors just they can't match each other. They can't meet each other. Never the twain. Exactly. Never the twain shall meet.
House meeting.
Is having subtitles on a foreign film cheating?
House meeting.
So there we were, and here we are. All this confusion, nothing's the same to me. If you like what we do, we also put out an extra podcast on Thursday normally called Flatshare Pop Round, and that, I'm afraid, is behind a classic Patreon paywall. So if you want to get some more, oh, that's weird to say, isn't it?
No, that's fine. No,
it's absolutely true. It's true. It's behind a Patreon paywall.
Okay, great.
Then. Yeah.
So if you want a bit more of us in your week...
Do you want us to close that loophole? Should we close that loophole?
If you want a bit of us on the back end of the week, then get on board and join the Patreon. It's a lovely community of listeners. We read out a lot of emails. We play a lot of games. It's cracking. And you can get that for something like £1 a week or £4 a month or some shit. So go along to patreon.com. You'll find it if you Google it, / pappy stuff, I guess.
Tom, you criticise my admin, but I'll say one thing. It's efficient and I get the information out there, mate.
You're good. You are good at it.
I very rarely use the phrase, or some shit.
You make it look easy. You do make it look easy. I'll say that much.
It's patreon.com/ Pappy's Flatshare as well, you know, Tom.
That's the one. Exactly that.
That's
exactly
the
right.
Oh, and if you'd like to send us a beef for Beef Brothers as well, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear some more beefs. We're going to be recording some Beef Brothers very, very soon, so we'd love some more beefs from you, please.
Great. Yeah. All right, then. Well, we'll see you again. We don't know when. Probably next week. Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Caution.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.